Number 24. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 24 this morning, we'll be here as long as we're here. And but anyhow, I ain't gonna say shortly or anything like that. And y'all like singing for 45 minutes. Y'all like preaching for 45 minutes. Somebody say amen. And but anyhow, I promise that I'll try to get you out of here before the day's over. All right. And that's the promise that I'll make to you. Hey, I'll do my best. Visitors, I'm just messing with our folks, all right? It's all right. Don't get all upset and leave, okay? And you won't be here all day. But we do like to wait for the second batch of chicken to go through the grease. Somebody say amen. And first batch is for all the First Baptist folk and all them other, them too. They dress a lot better than us. They can get out of church and go over there and get that first batch of chicken through the grease. Get the grease seasoned for us that love the Lord. Somebody say amen. And and if you really want to go to church, I done said this, you go to a black church and you get, I'm talking about them people know God. They'll come in there after we do and they get their chicken. That thing's, but anyhow. We're thankful that you're here, and I'm just picking. All right. If you're in Luke chapter number 24, I want you to say amen. Luke chapter number 24 is known as the resurrection chapter. There's a lot that deals with the resurrection of Christ. This is after he has resurrected and he is being seen. All right. We're going to jump all the way to the end of the chapter. Okay. And we're going to read starting in verse number 45. And we'll read through the end of the chapter, which is just 9 verses or so. I didn't count them, but anyhow, not very many verses. All right. The Bible says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." I love the Lord in this aspect. He always takes them back to the scriptures. And here Jesus is opening their understanding, but he's also showing them that this has all been said. That's right. Is everybody with me right here? He put an emphasis on the scriptures. We ought to as well. I need somebody to help me right here. I got so many folks, they want to give a testimony, testify this, testimony that. Listen, the scriptures are good enough for whatever ailment you got. I need somebody to say amen right there. You don't believe me? Jesus done this when the rich man that died and went to hell, he said, "Send Lazarus back that my brothers might be saved." He said, and Jesus told him, he's got the prophets and the scripture. And if he won't get saved, he won't get saved on that. They ain't going to get saved because of a testimony of one that rose from the dead. Is everybody with me right now? Jesus put an emphasis on scriptures. And so we should too. The Bible says, verse number 46, "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And we know that took place in Acts chapter number 2, and then Pentecost was preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Verse number 50, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. I was looking at this passage of scripture and my eyes, my thoughts went straight to this verse 45 where it says, "Then opened he their understanding." I want to do that this morning if we can. I titled it, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." Open our eyes that we may understand what this is all about. I got to thinking about this thing, and this was the last moments, if you will, before Jesus ascended up into heaven. I have got my priorities in life have changed. When I was a younger man, I wanted to have children and get them out of the house. Somebody help me. Me and Michelle got married. I was 18 years old. And I told her, I want to have all my children by the time I'm 25 years old. So if you want to have kids, we need to get busy. Somebody say amen. I want them all by the time I'm 25 years old because I want them all out of the house before I turn 45. All right. I was given some time in case I had one that might fail a grade or two. All right. But I understood. I know their grandpa. That's all I say. And that's not me. All right. I knew their grandpa and he one time come home with a 16 on a grade. All right. So I knew I had to allow for some time of failure and all. So anyhow, I told her, I said, I want all the kids out of the house by the time I'm 45 years old. I'm 43 right now. Zachary's still in the house, and he turned 17 here in a little bit, and praise the Lord, he is going to graduate from high school, or either he's going to get drafted into the military, or he's going to go off to college. Y'all pray for my child, all right? He's the one that's holding this whole thing up, but at 45, never mind. But in the beginning of this thing, that's my priorities. I wanted them out of the house. I wanted them gone because I enjoy me and mama time. I love my wife. Now, I mean, you might not like that, but I do. I love my wife, and I love spending time with my wife. And I was very anxious at the beginning of our marriage to have children and get them out of the house so me and her could and live, all right? And I wanted to be young enough that I could play with my kids and everything else. Now, you people that are having kids when you're 45 and 50 years old, God bless you. That's all I can say about that, all right? And you can call it, you can say you planned it if you want to, but we all know it was an accident. And nobody in their right mind, except Abraham, wanted to have an old child at an old age, all right? And the only reason he did, because God said he was going to have one. Other than that, Abraham would have said, Lord, give them to me before, anyhow, let me just go on. But my priorities have changed. I wanted my kids out of the house and wanted them gone. Now my priorities have changed. Now I want a piece of land big enough that all my kids can live on it with me. Because I got a grandchild. And I got a grandchild now. I want that grandchild to be able to ride a golf cart over to Papa's house and tell him Mama and Daddy ain't treating me right. My priorities have changed. As I get older, there's things in my life that have changed. Things that I now want to see and want to experience and want to leave for my children. I don't have that mentality of I'm going to spend everything I got before I die so my kids can't have any. I want to leave my kids something, even if it's nothing more than a legacy and a life that lived upright in front of them and in front of the community and things. But as I was looking at this, I was thinking about these are the last words of Jesus while on earth. Now we know that he's alive and well, but we know that he'll return to earth. But I want you, if you will, to think with me in the human sense that this was his last time on earth as a human. All right? Now, understand this. We know that he was God. And I'm not taking away the deity of Christ, but he had a human form, a human side. And this was the last of it. In Luke chapter number 24, we see him ascending up into heaven. And the last message that he gave, the last thing that he said was something that I wanted to focus on. Because I thought in my life, what's the last message that I would give to my children? Now, this is just in my Bible study, but in this, we're going to look at the last thing that he gave, and we're going to take a look at this thought of God open our eyes. Because I believe this. I believe that a lot of us are focused on the wrong things. I need somebody to help me right here. We're focused on our young and having a good career or as a ball player. Or we're focused on our career and how we can gather in possessions and material things. And I honestly believe this. I don't think God cares about any of that. I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to say this. I don't think God cares about your job. Preacher, God loves us all. Yeah, but I'm going to say this. God, I don't believe God loves your job. And I'm going to tell you why I don't believe that. Because the Bible says this, that God is able to supply all of our needs. And if that job's supplying your needs, and that's just a crutch for you, that's something for you to take glory away from God. I need some help right here. How many of you thank God for the job you got? Boy, don't get quiet on me right here. I don't want to preach right here. I got other stuff to go to. So many of us are so focused on the things of this world, and we think God cares about them. I don't think God cares about any of that. I think if we put an emphasis on what God cares about, then we'd see a lot of things in our life picking up, far as the job goes and everything else. But the problem is that have you ever thought about this? Why didn't God let you be a millionaire? I think about it all the time. If God let me be a millionaire, I'd be retired. Somebody say amen. He knew he wouldn't find me. I'd be turkey hunting, deer hunting. I'd be out on the beach. I'd be doing all kind, riding the Harley. I'd be doing all kind of stuff. He said, I'm going to keep you poor so I can keep you in the pulpit. All right? Yeah, y'all just don't know. I told Michelle my funeral. She said, what songs you want played at your funeral? I said, first song, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Y'all think I'm kidding? I had some Johnny Paycheck, my doggone funeral. Amen. I got some other songs I'll tell y'all about later, but anyhow. I had this thought, what would you leave your child? What would you say? I look at this and I want to say this. I'm taking a look at Jesus' last words. He said, open our eyes. This thought, opening their understanding. I want you to notice that there's a message revealed. The message that Christ revealed was his identity, who he was. He said, I'm who I always said I was. He tells them, you can go back in scripture and you can prove who I was. There's so many people that have a problem with who Jesus Christ is. We want to call him a man. He was a man, but he was God in the flesh. The Bible is very specific on that. It was God that came to this earth, lived and breathed on this earth, and died for you and I. He said, that is the message that needs to be taught. That's the message that needs to be revealed. That's the message that needs to be given here. In our passage of scripture, he says, and he said unto them, thus is it written, verse number 46, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to behooved him to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. As I looked at this passage of scripture and thought about the message that he gave them here, it was a message that he was Christ, his identity, but his suffering, he wanted us to know that he died for the very sins that you and I committed. Now listen, we can take that and you can say, thank you, Lord, for dying for my many sins. Or you can look at that sin and you can say, he died for every last sin that you and I have committed. Now I want you to think about that. Now listen, that means that lying tongue of yours, he had to die for it. That means for that gossip, he had to die for it. That means for those things, that drunkenness, he had to die for it. That means for fornication, he had to die for it. That means for pride, he had to die for it. For covetousness, he had to die for it. Lasciviousness, he had to die for it. Greed, he had to die for it. And every time you and I, listen to me, every time you and I go back to those sins, we put him right back on that cross. Is everybody all right? He wanted them to know not only his identity, but his suffering. He died for you and I. He wanted them to know, not only we see his identity and his suffering, we wanted them to know that he rose from the dead. He defeated all of that. The Bible says in verse 46, and it has behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, just like he said he would. It wasn't no happenstance. Jesus went down, he died, the Bible says, and he went in the heart of the earth, and he came out with the keys of death and hell. Resurrected. Hey, listen, and it was witnessed by them in our scripture. The Bible even tells us that over 500 witnesses seen him walking this earth after his death. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can trust scripture. I'm saying you can believe God. Hey, let me ask you this. If somebody has told you that they seen somebody shot and 500 people testified that they seen it, would you believe it? Help me now. We got proof that Jesus resurrected. We see his identity, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. All of that was a message that he wanted revealed. You know what God wants you to reveal to people? He's alive. Who he is. The fact that he died for them. The fact that he went into the grave and that he resurrected so that they too could have a relationship with him. They don't want to know what your youngin's batting average is. They don't care about how many touchdowns your youngin ran. Oh, I need some help. Don't get quiet on me right here. We have a message that Christ said, I want this to be given to others. The last words that he gave while he was here on earth was tell them about the message. Tell them about the message, that it's all true. They can go back all the way in Scripture and they can see that it's true, that I am the Christ. I did come and I suffered and died for them. And I rose again so that they too could go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. The message revealed. Not only this, but I see a mandate relayed. A mandate relayed. The Bible says this in verse number 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Is everybody all right? Not saying about.
That's right. Come on.
Oh, have fun. Not saying about. Right. Not posted on Facebook about. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
Preached about. That's what the Bible says. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Now we like remission. Somebody help me right here. Remission is forgiveness. Remission says that there is a possibility that your sins can be forgiven. Remission says that something died for you, and because something died for you, we know that to be Jesus Christ. Not a something, but a someone. He died for you and I, and remission of sins is available for you and I. But you know what we don't like? That word before that that starts with an R. That one that says repentance up there. Because we like to go through our life, run down here to an altar, say I'm sorry, and get back up and go live the same life that we were before we walked to the altar. And we call that repentance. But that is not repentance. Repentance is turning away from our sin and turning to the Lord. Oh, everybody all right? Dalton, come down here, man. Help me out, all right? Sean, come down here and help me out. Now, we all know Sean's a sinner, but he's going to be Jesus this morning, all right? Get over there by that cross, if you will, Sean. Dalton, you're just going to have to be sin, son. We have repentance. We are taught that we are to preach repentance and remission. And boy, our churches do a great job of preaching remission. This church does a great job of preaching remission. You can be forgiven for your sins this morning. I'm living proof of that. God knows when I got saved, I wasn't nowhere near what kind of person I should have been. I drank, I cussed, I carried on, I liked to party, I did other things that I won't mention, but anyhow, I did other things that were illegal. Is everybody all right? I had my sins. When I got saved, I was walking towards my sins. They were controlling my life. Wherever my sin went, that's where I went. If my sin, listen to me. Before I got saved, my sin took me where my sin wanted me to be. It had power and control over me. There's people in this church that's sitting here with sin in your life and you think you're in control of things, but you're not in control of anything. The fact of the matter is you're just following after sin. And sin is dictating what you do in your life. Alcohol right here, man testifies. We can go on. Don't go raising your hand. It'll get ugly in here. But at sin takes us wherever sin wants us to go. And we preach a gospel that if you get saved, you can be forgiven of your sin. But Jesus, I want to remind everybody, this is Jesus speaking. Don't get mad at the preacher. Look at me right here. Don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get all upset and go put on Facebook. I can't believe the preacher preached again. I can't believe he preached. I'm preaching the same thing Jesus said. Repentance and remission of sins. He said that we're to preach repentance, and repentance is this: turning away from our sin. Keep on walking, sin. Keep on walking, sin. I'm no longer under its control anymore. I have turned from that sin, and now I'm walking towards Jesus. This is my walk. This is what Jesus said. We are to preach repentance, and repentance, through repentance comes remission of sins. Is everybody all right? Y'all act like y'all know this. Do y'all know this? Because we don't act like it. Is everybody all right? I love it how some people in here act like, oh, this is all elementary, and yet I'm having to deal with the problems that you created for me. Because you can't keep your pants on. You can't keep your bottle out of your hand. You can't keep anything else. You want to get upset with me because I preach against it, but yet you can't control it. And all you do is cause problems for me who's trying to reach somebody with the gospel, because you can't handle your sin. You won't repent. So if it's too elementary for everybody, then let me know. We're to turn from our sin, and we're to walk in the light of the gospel towards Christ. But there's so many of us. Come here, sin. I like you. Come on, come on, come on. Run, sin, run. Don't act like you like to, We like to buddy up with sin. He's my pal. Hey, Jake, give me my jacket. Please, sir, give me my jacket, Jake. I'll be back. It's Sunday morning. Thank you, Jake. It's Sunday morning. I'll be back. Thank you, man. You help me? Is everybody all right? I'll be back. Church should get out about 12:30. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 12:30. You help me. Hey, buddy. Good to see you again. Let's keep this. It's Sunday. Some of the church folk might see me while we're out to eat. They might see me while we're out to eat. I'd have to put away that alcohol. I can feel it's getting rough back here. Let's go back up to the front. Is everybody all right? There's a mandate that we are to preach repentance and remission. Remission is wonderful. Thank God for it. I stand here redeemed. I stand here forgiven for my sin. But it came through repentance. Amen. It didn't come just because I'm sorry. It didn't come just because I come boo-hooed on the altar. It didn't come just because I said everything's going to be all right. It came because I walked away from that. Right. And walked towards Him. Is everybody all right? All right. Amen. Y'all give them a hand for helping us out. There's a message revealed, a mandate relayed. There's a ministry remembered. Man, I like this. I didn't know how it all fit in, but in verse number 50, the Bible says this: and He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. Boy, I got to looking at Bethany. I've never been able to. There's all kind of things that happen in Bethany. But there's some major events that happened in Bethany. I wrote down that Bethany was a place where dead men woke up again. We find out that Lazarus died and he was placed in a tomb 4 days later. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out bound in his grave clothes. Bethany was a place, hey listen, a ministry that was remembered. Bethany was a place that them disciples remembered, where Jesus took them and Jesus called out upon the dead and Lazarus came forth. Can I say this morning that Jesus is still in the business of bringing dead men to life? I'm a product of that. I was dead in my sins, and Jesus came to where I was at, and he called my name, and I responded and got saved. There's a place where dead men walk again, or woke again. There's a place where diseased men walk again. So where you get that? The Bible tells us that Jesus was in a house when this woman came in and started worshiping him with a little alabaster box. But the house that she was in, the house that Jesus was in, it belonged to a man by the name of Simon. The Bible says, Simon the leper. Now, what you know about the Bible, I don't know, but I know this. I know that somebody that had leprosy could not be with the rest of the crowd. He could not live amongst society. Matter of fact, the Bible even tells us, we go back in time, we can look back and there was leper camps. And that's where they had to go. If you got leprosy, you had to go stay in one of those camps. And if anybody come close to you, you had to get away from them and shout out, unclean, unclean. But yet Jesus ate in a house of a man called Simon the leper. That means that, I need somebody to help me. That means that the incurable disease of leprosy he had been cured from. I best believe that means Jesus got involved. I need somebody to help me right here. It was a place where diseased men were able to walk again. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. I'm trying to say that it's a place of those that disease. I don't even know sin in your Bible's a disease. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. How many of you know that sin is a disease? And Christ cured him of it. And he was able to go back to his family. I sit here, we already had one testimony, but I tell you what, this whole church is filled with testimonies of people that lived a life of sin, people that were dead in their sins, and Jesus saved them, and they walk in. I need somebody to help me right here. They're alive today, and they got a testimony of this. They're back with their families. They're back doing the things of God. God has saved them totally and completely. Bethany was a ministry reminder. He took him back to a place where a bunch of miracles had taken place. I thought about this too. How about that old Mary? Remember Mary and Martha in the house? Bethany was a place where deity was worshipped. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha, she went around doing her work. Martha said, I'm sorry. It's just one of them days, ain't it? You come to church, a lady come to church named Martha today, amen. It was a place where Martha was busy doing her work. She got upset at her sister and said, hey, Jesus, ain't you going to do something about that? She's over there sitting at your feet while I'm busy, I'm working. She said, Martha, Martha, she's chosen a good thing, and it shall not be taken from her. What is he saying? It's more important for that worship than for your little busyness. CC, leave them alone, or I'll start preaching on CC today. Yeah, you gotta. I'm tell you what, you got some bad friends. They invite you to church and they make fun of you because the preacher's preaching on somebody named Martha. Hey, the ministry remembered. Bethany was a place where deity was worshipped. Lastly, and I'm done. We see the message revealed. We see the mandate relayed. We see the ministry remembered. But I want you to notice the men's response. Verse number 52, the Bible says, let's go to verse 51. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And this is how they responded. The Bible says, and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. Is everybody with me right here? What should be our response to the last thing that Jesus gave to us? Worship him. Everybody ready? We're going to move on to the second one. You won't like it as much as the first one. And returned to Jerusalem. They obeyed him. They obeyed him. What did he tell them to do? He said, go back to Jerusalem. Start at Jerusalem. You go back to Jerusalem, wait on the power from on high to endue you. And then you go do the ministry. So what did they do? They went back. They obeyed what he told them to do. So they worshiped him. That was their response. They worshiped him. What's your response to Jesus' message? I'm going to have some fun. What's your response to this preaching this morning?
Glory to God.
Give it all you got.
I can't believe that preacher. Who's he think he is calling out sin? Joe Osteen don't preach that. That woman that looks like Batman's or the Joker, she don't preach that. Is everybody all right? That idiot that wants another $54 million plane don't preach like that. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm all for it. If y'all want to, I'll settle for $1 million. I'll fly around in a $1 million jet. I don't need a $54 million jet. Don't get all quiet now. You sit in here, won't even put your tithe in the offering plate, but you'll send to that TV show because he got to reach everybody with the gospel.
That's right.
Man, he wouldn't know the gospel if it slapped him in the head.
Amen.
Can't believe a preacher going to sit up here talk about sin. Let me tell you the response I've gotten. Y'all wouldn't do this publicly, but I've had people text me. Why don't you clean up your own porch before you start preaching about mine? I got that text, Brother Randy. I got in a text somebody, y'all don't want to hear this one, but I got a text somebody cussing me for what I preached up there. They're in church right now. Not. How are you going to respond to it? Bible says they worshiped him. And then they returned to Jerusalem, meant they obeyed him. I ain't asking you to obey me. I preach what Jesus preached. I give you a message he revealed, a mandate that he relayed. He relayed, not me.
That's right.
That ain't my preaching. That's his preaching. That's what he said. That's what I give you. So the question this morning, are you going to obey him? Not obey me, but are you going to obey him? They worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem. The Bible says with great joy.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me right here, but some of y'all need to let your face know that you're happy. Because
right.
None of the rest of us know it. How you doing? I'm doing great, preacher. It's a wonderful day. Tell your face. Somebody say amen. Preacher, you don't ever come talk to me. I know. I don't want to be depressed and go back to drinking. I walked away from that sin. I don't get back in it. I don't want to be depressed with you. Amen. Next verse. Give me the next verse. They worshiped him. They obeyed him. The Bible says that they returned with great joy. Look here. And they were continually. See, everybody jumped right to praising. Uh-uh. That ain't what it was. It says they were continually.
In the temple. Come on, preacher. Amen.
Well, it's amazing how people respond to preaching. Well, I had enough for today. I ain't coming back tonight. Preacher, we'll see you next Sunday. Hey, that's if the sun ain't shining and we can go to the lake. That's if. Well, let me just shut up. You know, you can put anything you want to in there. They continue. We're continually in the temple. Some of you gotten real comfortable with not being in church. Real comfortable with not being in church. I don't need it. It's all in how you respond to it. Remember, we're talking about responding. How do we respond to it? If you want to get better at something, you do it more. And come on, I need somebody to help me right here. Now, don't get quiet. I got the front rows helping me, but the back rows ain't. When we want to do something to get better at it, we practice it a lot. Whether it be football, whether it be baseball, whether it be singing, whether it be anything else. If you want to be good at some playing an instrument, if you want to be good at something, you got to practice it. There's a lot of people that are just getting by with being called a Christian, but you're not practicing it very good. You got real comfortable not being in a place where you should be. And we're continually in the temple. Preacher, we ain't got no temples here. But you know what the temple was? It was a place where people could meet with God. You know what the church is? A place where we can meet with God. Say, but my body is the temple. Then why didn't they just say, and we're continually in their body?
That's right.
Come on. Is everybody all right? I mean, I'm just asking a question for me. I'm trying to have a hard time. If that's what it meant, if that's what you feel like it means, then why didn't they just say we were continually in our body?
That's right.
So that don't even make sense. I didn't even have to say that. That's a given. Well, if it's a given, then obviously that in the temple is something that meant something. And we're continually in the temple. Okay, now we're ready, ladies. Everybody ready? Praising and blessing God. Do you know that there's a difference between praising and blessing God and worship? Worship is seeing God for who He is. Worship is seeing God for who He is. Praise is shouting about it. Worship is really seeing Him for who He is. If we ever got a real good glimpse of God, it'd change everything about our lives. But we don't, because we're satisfied with just... Is everybody okay? Am I all right here? We're satisfied with just a taste when we could have a plateful. And if we ever had a plateful, it'd probably change everything about our life. But praising and blessing God is something that every one of us should do. We ought to praise Him that we woke up this morning. We ought to praise Him that we got out of the bed this morning. I need somebody to help me. That's getting harder and harder to do. We ought to praise God that we had a... I'm just go ahead right here. We had coffee this morning. I'm an addict. And I admit it. Can't function without coffee. Coffee and Jesus in the morning, or I can't go nowhere. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to praise Him right now for it. Thank you, Lord. A good church to come to. Hey, my wife got out of bed this morning. My children got out of bed this morning. My grandbaby woke up this morning. My grandbaby's starting to walk. My grandbaby loves his papa. Is everybody with me? My car cranked up this morning. I drove it right up here with the air conditioner running. I had to walk right by my Harley to get into my truck. My Harley said, "Praise Jesus," as I went by. Is everybody all right? My coon dogs. I bought them bark collars. Y'all pray for them. It's been the quietest it's been in that neighborhood in a long time. But I peeked out the back door. I got two of them. One's named Gator. Don't ask me. I didn't name him, I promise you. And I thought about shooting him because of it, but anyhow. The other one's name's Twist, and both of them was up on the side of the kennel just like this. You say what you want to. They knew it was church time. Hey, I love having fun in church. There's a difference between worship and praising Him.
That's right.
Worshiping, seeing Him for who He is, praising Him's thanking Him for what He's done.
Right.
And that should be our response to the message. Worship Him, obey Him. It should be taken with great joy. It should cause us to want more, continuing in the temple, praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him for what He's done in our lives. Question this morning is how you respond to the message. Dalton's going to get on that piano. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What's your response to the message? There's a message that He wanted preached. That message was repentance and remission of sin. That message was that he came as God. He came and died for you, suffered for your sin, died for your sins, was buried and rose again so that you could be saved. The message this morning's been revealed. Let me ask you this question. I want you to be honest with me. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Right now, if you were to die where you're sitting at, where you're kneeling at, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I want you to look right up at this preacher. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you out, point you out. Thank you. You can put your head down. I appreciate you being honest with me. Who else be honest with me? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Heads bowed and eyes closed around the building. Who be honest with me, preacher? I'm not sure. Is there anybody else that be honest with me? Preacher, I'm not sure. Not going to embarrass you. One's already looked up. I ain't embarrassed them. I'm not going to embarrass you. Preacher, I'm not sure. If you're in the balcony and I ain't seeing you, raise your hand for me, please. You can put it right back down. Just raise it and let me know. Christians are praying this morning. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll respond well to this message. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we've had one that's looked up this morning, one that's acknowledged a need for salvation, a doubt of eternity. Lord, I believe there's many others in this building that have that same doubt. I believe they're clinging on and hanging on to something. And Lord, they know and I know and you know. Lord, there's been no change in their lives. So Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, I ask that everybody in this church, the Christians that are here professing to be saved, God, that we respond well to the message this morning. God, that we worship you for who you are. God, that we obey you and do as you command. God, that we do it with great joy, and Lord, not as a child that's mad. God, that we continue in the temple learning more about you. God, that we learn how to praise you and bless you for everything that you've given to us and done for us. Lord, I pray that we respond that way to the message this morning. Lord, for that one that's sitting in our midst this morning that does not know if they're saved this morning, Lord, I pray that you give them the courage and do them with strength. God, that they may step out, Lord, of doubt and into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Please don't look. But if you looked up at me this morning, I want you to listen to me. I want to help you. This is the way we help folks around here. We ain't going to tell you what we believe. We ain't going to tell you what the Baptist doctrine is. We're going to take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. You can read it for yourself. You can read it for yourself, make a decision yourself, and you can know when you walk out these doors where you'd spend eternity. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you can walk out of here that way this morning, if you will. It's your choice. It's a personal decision. We'll not make you do it. You're not joining the church. You're not signing up to give money, anything like that. All I'm asking you right now is to come right where I'm at. Come right where I'm at and receive Christ as your personal Savior. I know it sounds difficult. It sounds like something that would embarrass you. But there ain't a person looking around right now. It's just me. And if you'll put one foot in front of the other, I promise you it gets easier as you move this way. You can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing where you'd spend eternity instead of guessing it. Instead of hoping about it, you can know. Won't you come? Don't delay. Don't let him talk you out of it. Don't talk yourself out of it. There was a need, you acknowledged it. Now respond to it. Be saved. Would you come? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I sure am thankful for this church. Lord, I'm thankful for the people of the church, our members, our visitors, our guests. Lord, I thank you for the work that you do in this church, the presence, Lord, that we experience every week, every service. Lord, I pray right now, as I have already, that God, we respond to the message today that's been given. Lord, we repent of our sins for the remission of them. And God, that we worship you, obey you. Lord, with great joy, continuing in the church, in the temple, learning more about you and praising and blessing you. Lord, for your many blessings on us. Lord, thank you for a wonderful Sunday morning. Lord, I pray that your will be done in everything that we do. Keep us safe, Lord, as we return tonight, Lord, to worship you. Once again, Lord, we love you and thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I had fun in church this morning. I hope you did. I hope you got something you can take home with you. You can meditate on for a little bit and change your life. Visitors, I want to thank you for coming. Let's give our visitors a hand for being with us today.